You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition and their new centerfire rifle ammunition Terminal Ascent. Now, the Terminal Ascent has a slipstream polymer tip that helps flatten trajectories and initiates low-velocity expansion at longer ranges. The Terminal Ascent gives you match-grade long-range accuracy in a bonded hunting bullet, and it comes in a variety of cartridges, including the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 28 Nosler, the 7mm Remington Mag 30-06, and the 300 Win Mag. If you want to find more information about the Terminal Ascent, visit federalpremium.com. And while you're there, check out It's Federal Season, the official podcast of Federal Ammunition.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. With me today, co-host Micah and Andy. What's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Today's show is just going to be kind of some 2020 hopes and dreams for our whitetail season in Missouri. So we'll just kind of have some fun talking back and forth about our different properties and what we're hoping to get done this year. And just kind of BS a little bit with each other. Right?
Quick overview.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just a nice little podcast.
It's a nice little podcast.
There's so much we can talk about. So, I mean, we try to summarize the main points of the early season where we're at now.
Yeah. So, it's a fun show. Like I said, we're always going to keep having fun on these shows. So, hope you enjoy. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, welcome to the show. Got a good one today. We are finally going to talk about
deer hunting,
some whitetail. So I got Andy and Micah with me today. What's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
And today we thought we just might, since this is our first episode about whitetail, we're just going to maybe talk about our hopes and dreams for this 2020 season. You know, each one of us and what we got going on and what we might do, and just have some fun and screw around and talk about whitetail hunting, which is what we all really, really love, right?
Yeah, it's probably my number one passion.
Definitely. Yep. Definitely first for me. There's some close seconds, but this is number one.
Right. You've always been my number one.
Right.
Right. So, anyway, I mean, Micah, it's pretty cool what you got going on this year. What do you got?
Well, it's kind of, to get started, I got two new properties this year that I get to hunt.
Which is awesome because
last year
you didn't have anything last year.
Yes, last year the property that we were hunting, me and my brother, we got kicked off pretty much. Long story short, he had family that wanted to start hunting.
Right.
So, I mean, no hard feelings there. You know, family moves in, wants to start hunting, I can't do anything.
Is what it is.
Is what it is. But luckily, I was able to find two new properties that are pretty close to each other. And it's a pretty cool setup. I just need to find the time to go out there and figure it out. They both have alfalfa, and I've never hunted over alfalfa before. One of them, I know one of them, I walked it the other day. One of them, this is the first year that it's going to have alfalfa. They planted it last fall, so it's the first year popping. So I don't think it's had many deer run through it yet. So I need to be able to get the deer there to let them figure out, hey, there's a food source. But I think it's going to be, I think once they figure it out, I think they're both going to be pretty good spots.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to have like that new, it's almost like that new Christmas present, you know, like yeah. We've all been there where it's like this new unknown could be the coolest spot. You just don't know.
Right. I mean, it's a puzzle that you got to put together. It definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, because like I said, I hunted the property before these. I hunted that property for close to 10 years, I think it was. And I mean, so we had everything figured out. We knew where the deer were going. I mean, I can tell you everything you needed to know. I mean, so, but now going starting fresh, which I mean, it's probably good to do that anyways. I mean, every once in a while I try to hunt public ground and to try to challenge myself to get out there and, you know, do something different so you don't get stuck in a rut. And I did a little bit last year. And I mean, I've always, I'm pretty good about finding deer and where they move. I mean, sure, I go out there every once in a while, I'll get skunked. But for the most part, if you give me a piece of property, I, within 3 or 4 hunts, I think I can at least see a deer and then go from there.
Is your hand hurting you at all?
From
patting yourself on the back.
Hey, well, hey, I mean, what? I'm just being honest. I'm not saying I'm successful when it comes to it, but I'll at least see them. And that's, I mean, that's a success for me.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I,
so what do you, what's your plans? I mean, what are you, like, what are you going to do this summer to kind of get ready at these new places?
Cameras. Going to run a lot of cameras this year. I'm usually, like I said, usually I don't run a lot of cameras this year. That's going to change. 'Cause one of the properties, it's got, I'd say it's half alfalfa, half timber. The other one, 95% of it is all alfalfa. It's pretty much a big pasture surrounded by timber, but it butts up to a huge chunk of timber with, I mean, a few hundred acres, I'm saying. I don't know. And, I mean, there's houses between or, you know, close to either property. So I'm going to get into the big timber, throw a bunch of cameras, throw some corn or whatever, try to get them attracted and see if I can at least start bringing them in. So
find out what's there, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know that there's, I've driven by one of the properties and I've seen does out there in the alfalfa. So I know they know about that property, but as far as the other one, I'm not sure yet. So I just got to put the time in there. And then, I mean, I always, I have a place up north that I go with a buddy of mine and a few other friends. Our buddy owns it. And I mean, we've been hunting that. I mean, he's owned it for a while. It was a family farm. And we put work into it every year, putting in food plots, moving stands around, doing all sorts of management things to that. And so not much is going to be different going up there. I mean, I know the property decently. I mean, it's where I killed my biggest buck 2 years ago, I think it was. And
Was it 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Gorgeous deer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a good one. I mean, and that was, dude, that was just a look of the draw on that deer. Honestly, we had pictures of him. We always have pictures early season. They stay on us, but then once they lose their velvet, they want to move out for whatever reason. And so we're trying to figure that out. I don't know if it's a pressure thing, whether we're going, because that's when most of us have time. Once it starts getting closer season, that's when we can go up and do a lot of the work that we have to get done, clipping and doing whatever else we got to get do to prepare for the upcoming rifle season.
What'll be cool about, I think, probably for this property here at home for you is, I remember last year, like, you barely got the hunt.
I hunted with my bow 5 times.
Except when you went up north, right. And it's because you just didn't have anywhere to go. I mean,
yeah,
you lost that. If I remember correctly, didn't you lose that property that you had been hunting at home for like 10 years with your brother, like, right before the season started, right?
In August. Yeah. Lost it in August, yeah. I remember.
That's a crappy time to find that out. It was August.
I mean, we were, you know, starting to, you know, get everything prepped. I mean, season starts September 15th every year, so it was a big bummer. And, I mean, technically I did get one of these properties that up this season. It was during the middle of the season, but with work, it was hard for me to get out there and do the proper scouting and just getting to know the property. So, I think I hunted with a bow maybe 5 times last year. It was terrible. Yeah. I usually put a lot of time out there in the woods with the bow, but that's my favorite. I'd rather hunt with a bow than a gun, but just didn't get that chance. Hopefully this year is going to be different. And
well, this year's, it's going to be exciting for, I love the situation you have. And all three of us have different situations, which I think is very unique, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that new property, that figuring it out, I mean, that's half the fun for in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're well-versed and knowledgeable. I mean, you hunt your pinch points, you hunt your, you know, different things like that, and you start figuring out and getting it fine-tuned. And
yeah.
What type of stands Are you planning on like some movable type stands, permanent stand? I mean,
on the big timber, I'm gonna try to run a few different stands. I'll probably have one or two ladder stands, and then I'll probably have, you know, run a climber in there. I know that the timber's really, really thick. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of undergrowth and it's hard to get through. So it's going to be really hard. So I'm definitely going to have to go in there and do a lot of timber management to even be able to get some shooting lanes. A
little trimming.
Yeah, and walking and stuff like that. So that's going to be a challenge. As far as the other property goes, I walked it the other day. Like I said, it's 90-something percent alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan on, I already found the tree that I'm going to hang.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm going to hang the stand there. And if I'm 95% sure where I think the deer are going to come from. So I'm going to set up. And if I find out that they're coming down the fence row somewhere else or something along those lines, then I'll move the stand then. But more than likely, I'll probably only have one stand.
So like that one, since you know that the deer might be coming from one place, mm-hmm. can you set up to where you can hunt them from both north and southerly winds?
Where I got it, I'll be able to hunt both winds.
So, yeah. I mean, that's nice.
So no, it works out great. Yeah. It works out good the way the property lays out and where the timber and where everything is. Winds shouldn't be a factor on that piece.
Sweet.
The other one, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have to figure out which works for which wind type thing.
Are you going to supplement? Your camera area is obviously you're going to put in travel corridors. Are you going to try to supplement with some mineral or something?
Yeah,
some salt?
I'm definitely going to run some sort of mineral. I know you guys, y'all run just salt pretty much, right?
No, we do our own mixture. Yeah. I mean, you got me into that, Andy. But it's pretty much what I run now is, I can't remember exactly. I've got it in my notes on my phone, but Andy, you're pretty much the same. It's
two parts dicalcium phosphate for mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of strengthens the antler, give that some growth. I'm not a biologist by any means or a nutritionist for whitetail.
We just like to do it.
We just like to do it, like playing with it, and it worked as an attractant for sure. I like, you know, it seems to have put on good rack size. I don't know if it's from me or just their natural genetics, but I think two parts dicalcium phosphate, two parts salt, and a part trace mineral.
Yep.
I throw a little molasses early. You know, mm-hmm. like right now I will with mine. I Googled it to find, I mean, honestly, what it works. And
was it just like a homemade deer attractant
type thing? Yeah, we just mix it. I go to the MFA and buy the parts or the pieces and mix them in the bucket.
So you can get all
there at the MFA? Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think a lot of people do that. That's a pretty common
You start
mixture.
Talking to the local co-op or whatever about it, and like, oh, you're making deer mineral, huh?
Right.
I mean, they know what you're doing once you start giving your list.
Well, but. I mean, before, I never ran any of that stuff because that other property that I lost, they had cows on the property. So mm-hmm. anything I would have put out, cows would have got it the next day or that night. So I never ran any type, and I didn't have food plots or nothing. This one, I'm really excited about that because anybody that hunts and that has cows on the property, they can be a huge deterrent for deer.
Right.
And I mean, we were lucky to get the deer that we did. I mean, we always saw deer, but a lot of times they were on the outskirts of the property that we didn't have access to. This one, no cows around, nothing like that. I got food source right there. I mean, everybody knows the deer like alfalfa.
Yep.
But this is the first time hunting over alfalfa, so it's going to be new for me.
I will say, I mean, as far as like that mineral mix, you can make a mass amount on a budget, in my opinion. I mean, you can get some pound. I mean, a lot of quantity of that mix we just talked about. Before I did that, I used a lot of Trophy Rock granular. That's my favorite. If I'm not doing that, if I don't have access to the MFA or I'm on a have a time frame, I like the granular Trophy Rock.
And it just can get expensive for you. Nothing against Trophy Rock, but that's why we started
love
doing
using
that.
If I don't have the option to make my own, I'm buying Trophy Rock granular.
Yeah, and I know that at the place I hunt, that's what I initially did was I went out and bought a block of Trophy Rock everybody does in the wooden bins wherever you go, and just threw it out there. It's 10 times easier, but the reason we started doing our own mixture, and I know we're going off on a tangent, which is cool, but the reason we started doing our own mixture is because you look at the ingredients, and it's like 90... I could be wrong, but it's like 99% salt. So we're like, well, we could just go make our own where we're putting dical in there and trace mineral and just giving them a little bit more, you know, and it's easy to do. I mix it up in a 5-gallon bucket before I go out to dump it and carry it out there with me.
If you had to guess, how much does a how much does one of your old setups cost as far as 5 gallon buckets go?
How many buckets can you get out of it?
Well, when you go to make it, how much does that cost you, and how much do you get out of it?
Well, let's say I buy one bag of Dicow, one bag of trace mineral, one bag of salt, and a bag of molasses. It's been about a year since I've done it, but you're spending less than probably $75.
And you have 250 pounds.
And I've still got three of the four bags I bought last year out there of stuff in there.
Right. Wow. That's a lot.
So, I mean, you're under $100 for over 200 pounds of mineral site.
Yeah.
So that's kind of,
that's worth it.
To each their own. I mean, it doesn't matter. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't do mineral. And
that's fine. A lot of people can't. I mean, depending on what county you're in, if you're up north,
right?
Like, we can't run nothing up CWD, there. We can't put anything up there.
And if you're coming from an urban area, I mean, there's a lot of guys come out of the city and go hunt and whatnot and have different things. We're in a rural area, have access to MFAs and co-ops to get those things. Some people on time crunches don't have time to mess with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're lucky. Each of us are lucky now, you know, especially you, Micah, that you have a property, but we all have a property, private, in close proximity to where we live. You know, I think my furthest one is maybe a 20-minute drive. You know, all of us, it's close to where we live. Not everybody has that same opportunity. Some guys and gals have to hunt public land only, and that's one thing I want to do more of, but it's kind of hard when you know these deer. I mean, me specifically, my goals for this year are probably centered around specific deer.
I thought it was about coming up with cool names to name your bucks.
Okay, listen, dude. all right, I'm just going to put it out here. I like to nickname my deer, okay? And who cares? I don't care if anybody judge me. I enjoy doing it. It's fun, right?
Just to throw it out there for our two listeners, what's your theme of your deer?
All right, so I like to nickname my deer, right? I'm also not very creative, so they're all based around Mortal Kombat characters. Well, for the most part.
And unsubscribed.
We just lost half of those.
So, at my property that I'm hunting, there's one deer that this will now be my third year with him, you know, and his name's Sub-Zero. And then I've got another deer that this is also my third year with him, and his name's Johnny Cage. And if you have ever watched Mortal Kombat, you know exactly who I'm talking about. So,
you had a close encounter with Johnny Cage last year, correct?
So Johnny Cage, the two seasons ago, I never saw him on the hoof, but I had a lot of pictures of him. Last year, that deer, I actually had my son chase with me, and I could have shot him at 10 yards on camera with my son. It was probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever made, but I made the decision last year to pass on that deer.
I saw the pictures, and I think you made a good decision. He was a good deer.
I do, too.
And it would have been hard for anybody to pass him up, but I think you made the, you know.
Yeah, right, especially decision. Knowing that I didn't harvest anything last year. It's like, well, that kind of sucks. But looking back, I told myself that's what I was going to do, so I stuck with...
Stuck to the plan. And right. That's, yeah.
And, you know, he's a really cool deer. He's got good character. But last year, he was probably just 3.5. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But really, the deer, you know, if I got to, write the script, quote-unquote, I would be after that deer called Sub-Zero because he... So two seasons ago, he was with the buck I harvested in that year all the time.
What was that deer's name?
Basket Case. So he wasn't...
There's holes in your story.
Yeah, it's not always Mortal Kombat. If I can think of something, I'll do it, but usually I can't. So he was with that deer, and that deer is kind of the reason I started the idea of doing a podcast. I was lucky enough to be on Dan Johnson's Nine Finger Chronicles show about that deer. And so this Sub-Zero deer is really relatable because they were always together. I never saw him that season on the hoof. Then last year, I had two different encounters with him on the hoof.
Yep.
The one thing I'm a little worried about with that deer is sometime in June, he disappeared off cameras, which was weird for him.
for a long period.
For a long period of time, so I thought he had maybe died. He came back on camera mid-August, missing almost his entire right side. So it was broke off right past the G2. So everything from the G2 forward was gone.
And you don't know if that was what caused it, because you didn't have camera pictures, you know, from him from since June. So all of a sudden here he shows up.
Yeah, mid-August.
Half the right side.
So when that happened, I was a little bummed out because I was hoping to maybe get a chance at him. And then I thought, well, should I let him walk now that he's only got half a rack pretty much? Which, we're not horn hunters, but, you know, my whole goal now is in my hunting career is to kind of harvest mature bucks if it's going to be a buck. And even a doe, I would like to harvest mature does.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, with him, I was like, well, maybe I should pass on him. And then I saw him twice on the hoof, and it made it hard to want to pass because he's still an impressive deer, with half a rack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, big one.
But he made it through the season as far as I can tell. I haven't put cameras out there yet, so I'm hoping to do that in the next couple weeks.
I mean, yeah, they're just now starting just now starting to pop and start growing. So it's getting to be that time, though, where we got to start thinking about it.
So describe your property a little bit. I mean, you talked about the deer describe kind of your environment. Mike has got alfalfa fields.
Yeah.
Describe kind of your terrain, I guess, or layout a little bit.
So it's actually a pretty small property. The property itself is, you know, like 40 acres or so, but the area that I'm hunting is really only about 15 acres or so worth of mostly timber. The property itself basically is, you know, the top half is some ag, the bottom half is the timber. And I've got a little food plot in there that I planted that I've struggled with since I've tried, just because it's in some pretty dark timber and doesn't get a whole lot of light. And I've got some mineral down in there. And the deer, it's pretty easy to know what they're doing for the most part. They travel from the west into this property and typically take one or two routes down to where I'm at for the most part, either out to the field north of me or to where I'm specifically sitting, which is kind of nice. But so nothing really is changing for the most part there. I'm going to do some more cameras, and we planted some stuff along the field edge this year too that actually looks really good.
What'd y'all end up planting there?
I don't even know. What did we throw out there?
Yeah, I mean, it was a mixture of some stuff. Some oats, rye. I can never say this one right. Triticale?
Close enough.
Triticale, I think.
It's a grass.
Right. Okay. And then we threw some winter peas in there as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was
That's
just
different. You don't hear too many people doing peas.
We figured we'd try it. I mean, something different. And that's exactly why we threw it out there.
Yeah. And from what Andy's been saying, they've been hammering that stuff.
Really? Already?
Yeah, because it's about 6 inches tall or whatever.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they're out there. So that's, I mean, I guess if I got to say these are my hopes and dreams based on what we're talking about in this show, that would be if I could see Johnny Cage or Sub-Zero, and there's a few other bucks that I would love to see too, that would be sweet. But
so putting on the record right now, we're on recording, your goal
oh, great.
For 2020, what is your ultimate goal?
To have fun hunting.
That's a cop-out. Yeah. No, that's bull.
No, last year really, honestly, was one of my favorite years. I did not kill a deer last year.
Yep.
But it was one of my favorite years because the boys went with me more than they've ever went. I saw deer all the time last year for the most part, which is awesome. I mean, it makes for a really fun hunt. Killed a bunch of coyotes that I could. I mean, it was, you know, that was good. What did you ask me again?
what was your goal? Or
squirrel.
What did you want to happen?
I mean, if I got to write it this year, I would have a healthy Sub-Zero, and I'd put an arrow through him. That's what I would have happen this year.
There you go.
That's what that's what I'm a little scared of is, you know, did he get hit by a car last year to lose half that rack? when he showed back up in August, he looked a little sick to me. He looked skinny. I think I showed you pictures. Mm-hmm. Yep. You didn't think maybe he was, but I thought he looked kind of bad.
It was during that weird stage they're changing their coat.
Yeah.
On their fur, I guess you is it fur?
Hair.
Hair. Yeah, they have hair.
We're not scientists. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. But
yeah. Well, and your property's a little weird. Don't they leave every winter?
Yeah, right after the rut really is, which is, it's at least good that they're there for the rut for the most part. The rut is can be crazy there.
Right.
Right after that's over, they're just
end of November, they're ghosts. They seem to start dissipating.
You can have a camera out and you won't have a deer on that camera for 2.5 months after December hits.
Why do y'all think that is? Why do you think they're leaving?
He's surrounded by crop ground in that property. If my uneducated guess is looking on the outside, I mean, surrounded by crop property. So in October, November, you got, corn finishing up and then beans coming out. So you're changing their food and their environment. I know Nate's tried real hard to give them that stable food, that food plot.
But that's going to be hard. I mean, I guess I get it. Yeah, I get it now because, you get a lot of pictures of deer, and there's no way that with how big your timber is, I just don't know if they can stay there.
Yeah, the backside of, like, the south side of the timber is nice and thick, and I know they bed in there. I mean, I lied to y'all. 2 years ago, I did have an encounter with Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
But it was after the season was over. I was just walking through the property looking for sheds in, like, late January in the snow, and I got within 5 feet of him before I bumped him out of his bed. I didn't even know he was there. And then he stood up and took off, and I just saw this beautiful, deer. And he's easy to tell who he is because of his G1s are both split and bladed. And so it's easy to tell that deer. But so I technically did see him on the hoof. But there's a lot of more thick timber west of where I'm hunting. And I think in the winter they travel that way and then stay that way.
Yeah, well, they probably got more food and stuff in there. That would be my guess. Hard to keep them there with just 40 acres. I mean, and half of it in crop being taken out, so that'd be kind of hard to hold them.
You're changing their food environment.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they love it in the beginning, and then it holds does at that time, which is good, and then that brings the bucks in. I mean, it's kind of a nice win-win then, but eventually the does start trailing off. You'll see bucks on pictures on camera longer than you will the does.
Yeah.
Because the does will start leaving, and then you can tell then the bucks are gone afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, but that would be my goal, I guess. But like I said, I mean, if I'm also not one of those dudes that says Sub-Zero or die. He is not, I'm not going to pass up on another mature buck if he shows up. Let's say Johnny Cage has a good growth year. He's going to get it.
That's what I like most is seeing that growth. I mean, Johnny Cage, I'm not even hunting that deer. Like, I'm not going to hunt. I mean, seeing what he's going to become. You touched on it. We're not horn hunters per se. Now, if we want meat, a lot of us have the opportunity typically to take a doe for the meat and do some management because the doe outnumber the bucks typically on our property a lot more.
Right.
So we have some opportunities to harvest does. We choose to be fairly picky. And in my personal opinion, when you get picky, I realize if I'm going to hunt a specific buck or a specific couple or, have a target list.
Right.
I'm either well prepared to go home empty-handed without horns, or I realize the risk of that. I mean, there's some good deer that show up, but if it's not the one. Last year, I hunted one specific one. I didn't kill one.
Yeah.
I made that choice consciously. If I wanted some meat, I'd harvest a doe. Luckily, 2 years before, I took 2 bucks. All of us actually had like
about a really grand, good 2017.
Was that
2018?
Was it 18? Yeah, okay.
About a grand slam year on that one. But, yeah. And I consciously went after one buck that eluded me that year. But I don't even know how old he is anymore. But
I mean, that's...
It's a conscious decision.
There is no right way to do it. I mean, yeah, we got to the point now where we've been hunting properties that we know now you know, exception of Micah right now, but that's going to change in the next couple of years. You're going to get to know those places. And yeah, like, so last year I passed on Johnny Cage multiple times and I didn't really regret it other than the time I was with Chase and I thought, man, it tempted me because I was with my son and he would have got to experience that. But I don't really regret making those decisions last year. And that's okay.
There's you also taught him something at the same time.
Yeah. And he got to see his first hunt he ever went on, he got to see a buck at 10 yards three different times.
Yeah.
So it's fine. But, you know, if you're one of those people that don't have that same opportunity to kind of try to quote-unquote manage the herd that's at your land, who cares? Like, right. I have nothing against people that are shooting 2.5-year-old bucks or whatever else. It the way I hunt means nothing about the way you hunt.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's, I think that's what's good about our show is I'm not going to harsh on your mellow, nope. right? As the guys say. I mean, that's the way you do stuff and that's the way you want to do it. That's perfectly fine. You want to hunt with a rifle? Cool. You want to hunt with a crossbow? Whatever. But it's, you know, I typically don't hunt with a crossbow. I like the compound setup. But there's some people that think compounds are cheating because they're shooting recurves.
Yep.
So
to each their own.
That's exactly what I say. And it does not matter to me.
And a lot of factors, we talk about, you know, deer you shoot. And again, we have, you do you. You know, it's one of those things, a lot of factors. One, neighbors. Know your neighbors. Are they practicing quality deer management? Are they going to let that deer pass?
Right.
You know, maybe not. If not, what's your decision? And also time. I mean, we are fortunate enough that us three, we spend more time that's borderline healthy chasing whitetail.
Not
everybody has that time, and we understand that.
A lot of people just get that opening weekend.
For sure.
And that's it. So
yeah, it's about the experiences.
And, I mean, I can't remember. It was a show I listened to a long time ago where, you know, you were talking about the neighbors just a second ago. Yep. You know, what are your neighbors doing? And someone said, you know, well, the neighbor's going to shoot them, so I should. Well, that's not really the way you should approach it, in my opinion. Like, if you want to manage a herd, then do what you do.
Right.
There's nothing you can, you know, you can't do anything about the person next to you.
Yeah.
But what I have found is it isn't a horrible idea to talk to those people. I mean, the property that I'm hunting, the neighbor sent a video of Sub-Zero to us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
To show us. And they have pretty much the same ideas that we have as far as harvesting deer, whereas they try to let them get bigger as well. So that's really nice. And now I know that. And I can kind of work with them when you're hunting. So
we share notes. I mean, share notes with your neighbors. I mean, that's what the outdoors is about, is I think a lot of people get caught up in that, I won't say obsessive, I got to kill a bigger deer than the neighbor does before he... You start working together and working, I mean, as a community almost, it turns into fun. You know, you're excited for that other person. You know, as you guys are both doing the right things, be excited for each other.
Yeah, what do you want to get out of your hunting career, your life, right? Do you want to shoot a 190-inch deer one time out of 15 years you've been trying? Or do you want to shoot 150-inch deer 15 straight years? I mean, I know a guy that is one of the best hunters I've ever seen, Jeff Wilper. I think you guys have met him. One of my best buddies. Dude is a killer. And he has dozens of 150-inch deer on his wall.
Yep.
I would rather do that every single year than get that 190 and not kill anything for 15 straight years after that.
And to me, it's not really a score. It's, does that deer get my heart pounding? Exactly. Does it give me that feeling?
Yeah, that rush. You
know, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it's about, is did that deer do what I wanted to set out and do this year?
Yep.
And if it's a couple does, cool. If it's
absolutely.
It's nothing, it is what it is.
I still get excited shooting does.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I have fun.
They taste better.
I packed a whole one out on my back last year. No, it was 2 years ago. That was fun.
I remember those pictures.
It's, again... goes back to the experience. Does it get your blood pumping? Is it what you're out there for? Everybody's their own. But
remember that little button buck that we shot together?
Yeah, yeah.
We thought it was a doe, but it ended up being a little button buck. But
yeah, no, I did. I shot that for my dad, actually. He wanted some deer meat, and I was like, well, I'll go out there and
solve that problem.
I solved that problem. He needed some deer meat, and I was like, okay, I will provide.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy? What do you got going on this year?
Man, I got a couple of them that get my blood pumping, as we were talking about. But I'm pretty fortunate.
Hold on. I'm going to make fun of you, too.
Go for
you it. Also name your deer, correct?
Yeah, but my problem is always, like,
forget the names.
Forget / change the names based off their characteristics that year. I got one last year. I never did get an encounter. I had him on camera on the property the entire year, but never... I take that back. I had one. He came underneath my stand at dark. I had does out in the field, and I call him Crown Royal, and he has these huge split G2s. He came out 10 yards underneath my stand after shooting light. I had does in the field, so I hadn't gotten down yet, and I hear something coming, and he just walks right underneath my stand, and it was awesome to see him that close, but so frustrating that 10-20 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Why couldn't you have been here 10 minutes ago, dude?
A chip shot, you know, with the bow, but it is what it is. It was a fun experience, but main thing I love is helping. My whole family hunts, so not only the property I hunt, I like doing stuff on the properties they hunt.
Mm-hmm.
My nieces and nephews, that's the most rewarding thing, is helping them get on deer. So we got a couple properties, actually, a few that I don't really actively hunt that we try to manage for some deer. We got a couple alfalfa plots we put in there, cut some shooting lanes type stuff. I started a little bit. I'm behind what I normally do, but we'll get cameras out hard and heavy, you know, here really about mid-June once planting season starts, once we get out of the tractor, have some time there. But
planting season stops.
Sorry.
Hope you're not just now starting.
I'm a little tired from that. But, no, once it stops, we'll start getting some stuff out. But we'll get cameras out there. We've been supplementing with some mineral for, maybe a month now. I mean, their rat growth starts kind of, end of April, beginning of May. So we try to supplement that, keep the does healthy when it's, you know, time for their lactation period, keep the herd healthy itself. But
yeah,
the property I specifically hunt, I got a nice clover plot that's been going for about 4 years now. So typically I have some rough patches in there. I try to tear them up, reseed them, get them going. And it's actually worked pretty well to kind of, we farm. So our plots are in pieces that, basically of ground that aren't farmable. So it's either not the best dirt, hard to get to. So it's kind of harder to get plots, you know, food plots started. But that clover plot I'm really happy with. Again, supplement with mineral. And I've already cut one brand new shooting lane. Last year I watched three shooter bucks walk out of the same spot. The wind that I sit in ruins that for me. They're not coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I just went up, I went in that general area, found the right tree, I think, and give me a wind setup. So now I can hunt. It's a little kind of horseshoe shape type deal. I can hunt either side now. Just got my stand in the mail the other day that I ordered. So
lucky there.
FedEx.
I was
took care of you on that one.
They dropped off. I'm a camo fire addict. I'm guilty. I've got a hawk stand, you know, on the cheap through Camo Fire. I knew it was supposed to come in that day, and I was kind of wondering. I met the FedEx truck going down the road. I have a driveway probably 500 yards long on a well-traveled, chip and sealed road, several cars a day. Brand new deer stand in the box. You can tell what it is. It's not like an external box.
It's a hawk
box.
It says
hawk stand with the stand on it. Like you went to the store, picked it up, leaning against the mailbox. Like
at
the end of my driveway.
And you live like in a rural,
there's a well-traveled area.
Yeah, Lafayette County, you know, pretty close to deer hunters everywhere. and you know,
I would have given it an hour tops, and it was gone.
Guarantee it, man.
Not that I don't trust my neighbors and people, but it's not just my neighbors driving through that road.
Yeah, it stuck out like a sore thumb.
It's a yellow box. Hell,
if I would have drove by, I would have took it from you.
See, somebody's going to jack with me. it was going to be gone in an hour. But, no, I got a new stand. I'm excited. The corn is – I'm going to have to do it here probably in the next 3 weeks before the corn gets too tall. I can't get across that field. Or I'm just going to have to wait until September.
Yeah. This is – honestly, August is awesome, right, because we're getting ready for the season. We're getting ready for our elk hunt.
Yep.
But – this time of year is almost just as cool because it's like you can, I don't know how to say it, you can feel it coming.
Oh, yeah. It's like, for me, it's like Christmas. There's something about the first SD card camera check or even the first, you know, whatever system you're using. If you hook up a wireless system, you hook up an SD card, that first camera check, you start getting those, it's like Christmas. Like,
ooh. It's becoming for me like just as awesome as the actual hunting part.
Oh yeah,
is checking cameras.
Oh, you're crazy about your pictures,
dude. I mean,
this is gonna sound weird, I hate velvet pictures. I hate getting velvet pictures.
I hate you.
You know why? Because they're so
get out of here.
They're deceiving. They're so deceiving.
They are. They make them look gigantic.
I know.
But
I mean, you got to put them out. You got to figure it out, and you can get a lot of information from it. But every time you get up those velvet pictures, dude, that's like a 180. That's like a 180 deer. That thing loses velvet. That's a 145, man, every time. Right. Oh, you know?
Yeah, they always definitely shrink. But, yeah, I get a little crazy with my pictures. I mean, we got the computer out right now, and I'll like put the name of the picture or the deer up on top so I remember who he is. Yeah. Well, see, like, what I do with my photos is I actually try to help myself on the hunting side too. So I'll put the names of that deer up there, and then I'll save those photos for as long as I can. And even like on some younger deer, I'll put those out. They might not even be named, but I'll keep them. And I can go back and look at historical, you know, dates on stuff and go, okay, last September he was here on the 4th, 9th, 15th, 17th, October, you know, and go, this year it's the same damn dates, you know, and try to see if you can pattern them a little bit. I haven't had enough quote unquote data. You know, this year will be my third year at that property to be able to say, okay, are they doing anything the same every year or not?
Yeah.
But
do you guys have any like dates? What's the word I'm thinking of?
I got four kids. We don't go on dates anymore, dude.
No, yeah. like some people swear by Halloween. Like you have to hunt on Halloween.
I don't know. I look at the conditions for the most
superstitious
part.
Superstitious dates is what I'm. Yeah,
when it comes to bow hunting, I'm usually, I either get it by October or get it really late in the season, like after rifle season. When it comes to most of the deer that I've harvested, they've always come before October for the most part. Or
so you're a believer in the October lull, so you better.
I don't know if it's real or not. I mean, I'm sure they're going through some type of change or something. I mean, obviously that's when a lot of the, you know, they're hitting the acorns and stuff like that. But I mean, I always still see deer, but I mean, that's just usually when I've become lucky.
Well, the big ones definitely, like, hibernate's not the white. They're resting up for that rut, in my opinion. They're laying low.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but anything. Then, like, I killed Basket Case, the deer I was telling you, you know, you all know about. I killed him October 16th.
Yeah.
In the middle of that time. I mean, it's just, for
me. I don't
think
he was traveling too far. I mean,
he was probably very close.
He wasn't too far.
And luckily I had some does come through, and I think he was kind of checking in on them. But for me, I just really look at conditions more than I do like dates. I mean, a lot of people aren't hunting in middle October because they're waiting for stuff to kind of get crazy. Well, I just kind of say, okay, hey, we have a cold front coming through. It's the right wind, barometric pressure. I kind of look at that and see what it looks like and say, you know what? Looks like a good night. I'm going to go. I mean, we're all the same. We have children, full-time jobs other than this. And if the conditions are right, I'm going to give it a shot if I can go that night, because I might not get to go the rest of the week.
I'm a huge believer in barometric pressure. And I'll be honest, I mean, the Drury Outdoors app, they started doing that.
Deercast.
And that's what got me actually watching barometric pressure. Before I would look at changes in weather, mm-hmm. but then I specifically started watching barometric pressure. And for me, the date is a Wednesday. Wednesdays with high barometric pressure, I'll be in a
superstitious
deer
stand. Dude.
Superstitious dude. My brother-in-law Mike, Thursday before gun season, it doesn't matter. He will sit all day in a stand. And I won't say 3 years in a row now, he has had an encounter with a shooter. 3 days, 3 years in a row, he's had an encounter with a shooter on the Thursday before gun season. He'll sit all day long.
Huh.
To each their own.
I mean, that's what's cool about what we're doing with this podcast, and you know, the outdoor world in general. We get to hear other people the way they do stuff. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know anything. It's just the way I do stuff, and listening to you two today, listening to how other people do stuff, is how we become better outdoorsmen.
Right.
And I mean,
half people listening probably know that we are full of shit by listening to everything we just said, because we're not experts. We're not getting scientific about it. It's just what we like to do.
Yeah. This is, I mean, you know, we're just like anybody else out there listening to us. We try to educate ourselves. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do a lot of, you know, research myself, and, you know, a lot of field work. We all do that.
Yeah, we put a lot of time in.
Just like anybody listening to this. And, you know, there's what's the saying? There's no one way to skin a cat. I mean, it's the same thing with deer hunting. It's the same thing with turkey hunting, fishing, all those things. Which is why I think this is going to be so much fun for us.
Oh, for sure.
Learning things from people a whole lot smarter than we are.
Yeah, I mean, we're not killing monsters every year. Yeah, we've definitely had some good years where we've gotten some really good bucks and stuff like that, but
I don't have any booners on my wall.
Right. As long as it's legal, as long as it was ethical, rock on, man. Yeah. I mean, it is about the experience. Yeah. My favorite ones are when I was, you know, younger and I didn't have a target deer. I didn't have
cameras. Right.
It was deer season, so I went and sat in the woods. I shot a deer that went by me that had a big enough rack that I was satisfied with. I mean, I wasn't shooting a four corn. Back then it was legal too. But I mean, okay, nope, that's not. And as soon as that one, some of my favorite hunts, honestly, I fell asleep against a tree. I was sitting on the ground, fell asleep against a tree, woke up, there was a deer.
Yeah. And you said it earlier. I mean, it's what gets your
blood pumping.
If for me, it's what I was talking about earlier. Okay. If for someone else, it's the first buck they get to see, because maybe they're in a spot that they don't see many bucks.
Yep.
You know, cool. I mean, that's what I love about this sport and, you know, outdoors in general, is it means something different to everybody. Even the three of us probably have the same in general ideas when it comes to managing what we want to do. Mm-hmm. But Micah, you know, something means something different to Micah than it does me. And Andy has different ideas than I do. I mean,
well, yeah, naming your deer is stupid.
No, it isn't.
It makes sense.
It makes 100% sense.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, hey, Sub-Zero was here today, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that deer. Instead of going, you know, that one deer
I'll be honest. And you tell me, and you share your trail cam pictures with me, and you name them or whatever. I forget their name as soon as the conversation's over, and you got to re-explain it. No, this one's Johnny Cage. Blah, blah, blah,
I wish I could have forgot you the first time I met you, but instead.
Yeah. Thanks, Amy.
My sister had to go and marry you. Yep. Nope, don't even say it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, if y'all don't like us having some fun, we're going to have some fun. I mean, we said before this podcast started, what? If we don't have fun, we're not going to do it.
Right. The whole purpose, and that's just outdoors in general. It's having fun.
Yeah. Get out there. Spend as much time as you can. Take somebody else with you. And
educate yourselves.
Yeah, educate yourselves, and, I mean, just have a good time.
Go and do it right.
Yeah, and have fun. And, you know, at the end of this podcast, once it releases, respond to the social media post and tell us what your guys' hopes and dreams are for this season.
What's the best name for your deer?
I will take that advice from people because I suck it. There's only so many Mortal Kombat characters that I'm gonna name.
Okay. First deer that shows up on your camera. First buck. Gets a name.
That's not already named.
Yeah, it's not already named. I'm not changing his name.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair enough. First deer that shows up on your camera that does not have a name already.
I'll do it.
Okay. You do it.
I'll do it.
All right.
Okay, and I'll do it, I guess. I'm going to be running cameras this year.
Huh. You got the new farm. You're
stupid, Micah.
Oh, I know. And that's another thing about having this new farm. I'm really excited because there's no pressure. Like, I don't know what's there. I have no idea. So if a 130 pops out and I get excited about it, who knows? I might shoot it. I don't know.
Who cares?
I mean, if I get excited, I'm going to shoot it. So we'll just see.
Yeah, and more power to you.
Yeah.
That's hunting. That's what's cool about it.
So we'll have a social media post. It's probably going to be, here in a month or so. Well, by the time we're recording this a little bit in advance. So yeah. It'll be a little bit. But when you see Micah's deer, pop your favorite name or best name you got out there. See what we got.
And when we release this episode, tell us, reply and tell us what your hopes and dreams are for the year. You know, we want to know from our listeners, what are you guys wanting to accomplish this year?
What's your plans?
What's your plans? Remember, we're in West Central Missouri. So where we're at is going to be different from Southeast Missouri, Southwest Missouri, Northeast, Northwest, even just Mid Central North. Mm-hmm. So,
it might be get a kid their first deer, take somebody else hunting.
Yeah.
Share the woods with your dad, your grandpa. What's your goals? What do you want to accomplish?
Yeah. And we plan to. Actually, one of our listeners gave us this idea, and it's a really smart idea, is talking to different people in different regions of our state about, how the hunting is, where they're at, compared to what we're doing here. What do they see?
I'd really like to talk to some guys down south.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean,
I'd love to hunt a deer down there someday because it's just different than what we...
So, listeners, if you're from down south, let's put a... What kind
feeler?
Of... Yeah, we'll put a feeler out there. If you're from down south and you have success, get in contact with us.
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah. So, that's kind of our 30,000 foot view of what our 2020 season is, kind of what our hopes and dreams are. We thought it'd be a good episode to start off with and talk about.
Hear our BS from our situations.
Some whitetail, baby.
We'll try to get some more, specific as we get a little closer to season. But,
that's what we're doing.
We couldn't wait any longer to get talking about whitetail.
we're doing the same thing that we always do anyway. We're talking about what we do. So, it's going to be hard not to do some of this stuff. It's fun for us. And, I love listening to my buddies talk about this sort of stuff. So, I hope everybody enjoys this. And, whitetail is fun for us to talk about and definitely a passion of ours.
Absolutely.
So, you guys got anything else?
I'm good, man.
Make sure you click subscribe.
Yep.
Hit that subscribe button, please. It help us out a lot.
Maybe throw in a five-star
review. Maybe throw in that five-star review. Even if you think it's two-star, do the five-star.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't.
But, go hit that subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I found a CastBox or something like that app the other day.
Stitcher's
out there. Yeah, all of them. So go subscribe wherever you listen.
Check out the rest of the podcasts on Sportsman's Nation Network too.
Check those
out. Some good ones out there.
Yep. You'll probably hear that before, but we just got to record an episode with Backcountry Rookies. And
awesome, dude.
Chad is awesome. So,
Go listen to that one. Go listen to all his other stuff. And
yep. Give us a follow on the Instagram and, Facebook pages. That'll help us continue to get to do this. And we really appreciate everybody listening. See you guys later.
Catch you on the next one.
All right.
See you.